Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. Today's conversation is about something my guest and I both believe in deeply, the power of connection. My guest, Elizabeth Cottrell, is the award-winning author of Heartspoken, How to Write Notes That Connect, Comfort, Engage, and Inspire. And here's her book here. Does it come out the right way?
It does.
Oh, good. Okay.
It does.
Through her work and the hashtag Heartspoken movement, she's inspiring professionals, leaders, and everyday people to slow down, pick up a pen, and nurture relationships in ways that are simple but profoundly meaningful. As someone who also believes in sending promptings and spreading kindness through intentional outreach, I couldn't be more excited to explore this shared mission with Elizabeth. Let's talk about how just one heartfelt note can make all the difference. So welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Janice. This is just too wonderful to find a kindred spirit and have this conversation.
Well, and I found you on LinkedIn. I mean, you write such great posts, and I knew that actually from just seeing Heartspoken as you're on your banner, that there was something there that I had to explore further. So I'm so glad that we met. And I will just point out, I didn't say it in the intro, that I think people can find you with your initial H, right? Elizabeth H. Cottrell. So
exactly.
I wanted to point that out.
And I'll just mention there is a wonderful woman named Elizabeth Cottrell, who is a scientist for the Smithsonian, and she does really great work, but we're not the same.
Isn't that funny? And I have another Janice Porter that follows me around, or I follow her around, depending on your perspective, in our local area here. And so someone will say to me, do you live on such and such, or what year were you born, or whatever, just to clarify. And I'll go, no, she's taller than me, younger than me. And, you know, but we have fun with it and have for years. So that's kind of fun. So let's kind of start. I just actually got off a call. It was an intro call that they were looking for people to join this, but this guy had invited me, and I was curious to why and how he picked me. But it was a peer group for CEOs and owners and things through Canada, and there were some fascinating people on the call, and a couple of the spotlighters that were saying why they were there and why they were peer chairs and things like that were talking about their first act, second act, third act, or they've seen their life in seasons. And I think for both of us, we're kind of in one of those later acts of our life, coming from former different, more corporate type of situations. So I know that you were in the banking world for many, many years, and was the chair, first female chair, I think, of a bank.
Yes, first, I still am. I have one more year.
There you go. That. Okay, so that keeps your left brain going, but you've probably always been the right brain person as well. And I do happen to know from reading in your book, but I'd love you to share with my audience what inspired you to write Heartspoken. And was there a pivotal moment when you realized that handwritten notes could change lives?
There certainly was. And to be very honest, I would say that most of my life I have been very left-brained. Science, math,
yes,
all that kind of stuff. And I never thought of myself as either a creative person or an artistic person or anything like that. But I was raised writing notes. It was considered the thing to do. My mother, my grandmothers all wrote wonderful notes. And it was just something that I thought that I should do. And I did over the years get lovely feedback from people who would say things like, oh, I just wish I knew what to say, or I wish I could write notes like you, or whatever. And that just sort of frittered around in the back of my mind. But there was one day and one letter that came that was like a lightning bolt for me. And it was a letter from a complete stranger. She had lost her son to suicide. And I did not know her. I did not know her son, but I knew her son's fiance, and I had written a sympathy note. Janice, I wish I knew what I had said. That was before I was keeping copies of what I wrote. And whatever it was, she said that my her fiance, her daughter, future daughter-in-law, sent her my note, and she said she'd read it 25 times, and it had been a lifeline for her. And that was a lightning bolt moment for me to realize that a well-written note from the heart is so much more than just good manners. Good manners is reason enough, honestly, but it's so much more and has the potential. You don't always know. You don't always have that feedback, but that convinced me that I was onto something that was way more than just a nice thing to do.
Yeah, that can, excuse me, that can definitely change a life. And in this case, that letter changed more than one life, and including your own. And that's always the piece that gets forgotten, right? It also changes you. Whenever I talk to people about cards that I've sent and to get them to try this practice of sending out cards to give, not to get, more than their life will be changed. And people don't realize it until they do it for a while. They realize that what it does for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, if we can just even back up to a higher level of looking at it, it's all about connection. And that's what you're all about.
Yeah.
It's the building of those relationships. And there's so much fascinating science out there now about people who have those connections, who make those connections, are happier, they're more resilient, they're more satisfied with their life. And it's another tool to help us build those connections.
Yeah, it's funny. When I mentioned that call that I was just on, there were people there talking about how they had transitioned from corporate into their own businesses where they were now coaching or executive coaching or whatever, and how they realized over time how they were not happy doing what they were doing unless they were helping others. And this gave them more opportunity to do that. And so it's something that's inside you for sure, right?
It is. And I think that may be a really important place to mention, and this is opinion on my part, but we all talk, we often talk about the work-life balance and the boundaries between work and our personal lives, but there's not nearly as much of a boundary as we either think or we might like to think. And I think so often the skills and the practices and the habits that we have in one part of our life are spill over and can influence the other part. And so one of my missions is to make corporate and nonprofit and other professionals realize that this is not a soft skill that's just for thank you for your wedding gift. It's way, way more than that.
Exactly. But it's finding, especially with corporate, it's finding the inroads to the person, first of all, who gets that, right? Yeah. Who can then show that and experience that for the people who think it's fluff.
Absolutely. And of course, you are the role model. I mean, you do it so beautifully. You do it so beautifully yourself. But yes, and like any tool, it can be misused and abused. Yeah. And we all know people that are, quote, glad handers, that are not sincere, not, you know, they're just using a tool to get themselves ahead. And that's just not the way to use any tool. So it's
you just
certainly
made
not
me
the way
think
to
of
use
something,
notes.
Something that I hadn't thought about for a long time. Several years ago, and I think it was pre-COVID, actually, I had had some dealings with Yellow Pages. Remember Yellow Pages?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't super long before COVID. It was still around, but in a digital format. And I remember having some issue with, I don't know, they charged me for something or whatever. And I called their office locally, and the receptionist was the person that I had to deal with. She could have been as snippy as most of them are, but she was so helpful and so just helpful in getting me to the right person and calling me back and doing all sorts of things, that I had the prompting to send her a note after. And I sent her a card, but not only did I send her a card, I sent her boss a card.
Yes.
And when I sent her boss the card, she then, I think she called me and she said, she was in tears, and she said, I cannot believe that you did that. She said, I have been with this company for 30 years and I was getting close to retiring. And so the boss apparently read this letter at some event they had,
Oh
or
my.
card it was, that they had for her. And she was just, and those are the things like you go, wow, look at the ripple effect that that can make to somebody's life.
Absolutely. And I've even started when I write a note like that, if I think about it, putting a little suggestion at the bottom to the boss to please put this in her personnel folder or his personnel
Yeah,
folder
great idea too.
so that it'll follow them because, they just, we're so quick to give criticism and bad news, but those
True.
compliments mean a lot.
It's so true. See, we're talking on the same side of the page. There's no question.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about in your book, you talk about your notes formula, NOTES. And I wonder if you could walk us through it and how it helps make writing easier and more impactful if you follow this guideline.
Sure. Well, I just, they're all different ways that people learn and people remember. And for some, an acronym, and I've got my book in my hand, so I don't
That's
forget
okay. I've got
anything.
it here too.
But the notes formula just felt like something that to me made sense. And the N is for natural, because I think people who don't know what to say or worried about say the wrong thing, I encourage you to just pretend like you're across the table with a cup of coffee, speaking to that person, and have that kind of voice in your writing as well. O is for open, and by open, at the risk of getting a little woo-woo, I just like to take a moment, take a deep breath, and open myself, my heart, to what I want the reaction to be on the other end. And that calms me, it centers me, and it helps me to find the right words. T is for tell. Tell can be very, can be in a thank you note. Tell them why you love your gift. Tell them, refresh their memory on what the gift was, because
That's helpful, right?
don't just say this, thank you for the lovely gift. And just tell them what's on your heart. And with a sympathy note, for instance, tell them something that you remember about the person. Tell them your favorite interaction you had with the person. So tell is just to be specific and be personal. E is to empathize, and a little bit goes back to the being open, but empathizing is not just sympathy. There's a wonderful quote, I'm probably going to get it wrong, but it says, sympathy sees and says, I'm sorry. Empathy feels and says, I'll help.
Yes, I love it.
And there's a difference there. So you want to put yourself in that other person's shoes. S is for share, and this goes a little bit back and goes with the tell. Share a memory, share an observation, share the blue bowl that you gave me reminds me so much of my grandmother's kitchen, and I'm going to think of you and her every time I use it. So that is the notes, and S is also as a sub thing for is to be specific, and that goes back to what we talked about. Be very specific. I'll never forget thanking my mother for a. A shell, a ocean shell, like shells, wreath that she gave me, which was very uncharacteristic. And I'm not a beach person, and I thought it was odd, but lovely. And I thanked her for it. And she called me up right away and she said, I didn't, that's, they sent the wrong thing. That's not what I meant to send you at all.
I
So
love it.
sometimes it helps to get those kind of things straight too.
Right. Now, this is not on my question list, but it just came to me when you were when you said something in your formula. And basically, well, a couple of things. One, that if I'm writing a nice to meet you note or thanks for your, for taking the time to talk to me, I do like to, and because I'm a LinkedIn trainer, I go to LinkedIn and I look for something that most people wouldn't notice on that person's profile that I can maybe refer to show that I paid attention. I notice that you're an avid hiker. Let me know if you ever come to our area. We have wonderful hiking trails here, or
I bet.
something like that. Something that isn't business-like, but it makes that connection. The other piece I want to ask you, and it's not on my list, and it made me think of is, I read somewhere, and I don't think it was you. I don't know where I read it, but it was something about sympathy notes, and it was about losing somebody. Somebody died, somebody special in your life, and you're sending a sympathy note. And this person, whoever said this, said that, and maybe they were religious, and I'm not a religious person, but they said something about not to say so sorry for your loss, because they haven't lost the person, but better to be more maybe pragmatic and say, sorry to hear of your father's passing, and then go into something else. What's your take on that? Because I've done it ever since I read that, because it made sense to me.
That is interesting. And I did not say that.
No.
But I had not heard that, quite that twist to it. But it makes sense. But I think you have to not worry so much about okay. getting something wrong like that, because when your intentions are good, and really that is to say I'm sorry is such a ubiquitous and commonly understood means of conveying sympathy. What I thought you were going to say was something that a widow friend of mine said. She said, I didn't like people to tell me they were sorry because they didn't do anything. They didn't
yeah,
cause
that
why
too.
Would they
yes.
say, why would they say I'm sorry?
My sister says that all the time. And I always say, what are you sorry for? It wasn't your fault.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So in both cases, I would say pay attention. And I think it's great that you've listened and incorporated that. And there's certainly and that just sort of minimizes the risk that other person might be sensitive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And also, do you feel that it might have been somebody religious who said that? I don't know. Because some maybe think
know.
That there's life after death. Some people don't, that kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, that's an important, really an important reminder that when we don't know what somebody's faith tradition is, just try to stay away from
exactly.
language.
Yeah,
language
exactly.
That is religious.
But you're right. Most people will not pay that much attention to what I'm saying or what you're saying. But those who do, they're the ones that, you know, that we want it to hit home with anyway. I mean, you do the best every time, but some it hits and some it doesn't. So it's true. Okay. Well, thank you for your take on that.
You bet.
Now, do you teach this, your practice, to people in groups, or do you speak to different organizations? How do you get the word out there?
I have done workshops,
okay.
and I have done sort of live training, both online and not. But I would say the main avenue for me is through my newsletter. I have a weekly Substack newsletter called This Heart Spoken Note, The Heart Spoken Note rather, and that is completely free, and it just covers all things epistolary, as they say.
Ooh,
and
I don't know that word.
Epistolary just means anything to do with writing notes and letters. And so sometimes it's about stamps and paper, and sometimes it's about etiquette and that kind of thing. But so that's probably the main thing. And then as a for those who want to dig deeper and feel like they need more support, I have two membership programs. One is called Heart Spoken Circle, and one is called Heart Spoken Ambassadors. And if they go to heartspoken.substack.com, they'll find both. But both of those groups will get a monthly action plan, and each monthly plan has a theme, and I include samples of the theme for both personal and corporate applications. And my goal is that after about a year, 12 of these, that they will have basically done a master's course in note writing.
Goodness. Well, first of all, I'm impressed that you're on Substack. You're ahead of me. I'm like, can I take one more thing on that I don't understand yet?
Well, I took a couple of things off to do it. So,
okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. But why did you choose it? Was it a writer's venue? Is that why?
It was. A couple of things, Janice, and it's a great question. It is a fascinating platform. First of all, it's free.
Yes,
it's
right
free
now.
Although the big thing is that it believes in writers. It was built for writers and authors, and as a place to value their writing. And so you can then add what they call a paywall, which in my case I did membership programs, and they will take if you do charge, they'll take a piece of that as their fee. But they have amazing built-in functions that help people get to know each other, that get eyeballs in front of your newsletter more than any other platform I'm aware of. And it's a community. It's a nicer, gentler, well, at least the circles that I've been in. I imagine if you chose to read only political newsletters,
Yeah.
you might not feel that way. But anyway, it's just, it's been a delightful experience. It's pretty intuitive as far as the writing. It's not as robust as some, and I still have a WordPress blog that is there because that's sort of my home on the web. But the newsletter is where I do most of my communicating.
Well, I would imagine you can take some of your blogs and repurpose them as
I
well.
can, and I
Yeah.
have.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Okay. That's awesome. So in your experience with other people that you have educated in the world of being heart-spoken, what kind of transformation have you seen when people start writing these kinds of notes consistently? Do a couple of stories come to mind?
Well, a couple things, sure. One is that they find it easier than they thought it would be. And again, it's the whole practice makes perfect thing.
Right.
That is the big thing. The other thing is that I really try to push home is not to worry about saying the wrong thing. If your intentions are good, it's very unlikely. And truthfully, as you already mentioned, people are not necessarily even going to remember what you said. They'll remember that you did reach out. And that's the most important thing. And I think that my sort of appreciation, this is not what inspired me to write the book, but my appreciation for notes in a business setting came from a young man that I had bought a product from, I'm talking 20 years ago. And he was not more than 22, 23 years old. He had set himself a goal to be a millionaire by the time he was 30. And I think he achieved it. But I bought a little ebook from him. It was not an ebook. It was something he put in the mail and sent to me. And he wrote me a thank you note. And I thought, wow. And I know for a fact that he has continued his practice of writing personal notes. And he is extremely successful.
Don't get the wrong idea for me saying this. I don't want you to do anything. However, I had a gentleman that I interviewed a couple weeks ago or last week on my podcast, and he's helped me with a few things. And I find him fascinating and intelligent and very generous. And we had a conversation. Then we booked the podcast, just like you and I. And then we did the podcast, and I sent him a thank you note. I sent him a thank you note, but then he came back and gave me some information very generously to try out of his stuff. And I just received a gift in the mail from him with a handwritten note with his name embossed on the top of it, thanking me for having him on my podcast and beautiful note around it. And I'm like, he's one-upped me. I mean, I'm like, oh my goodness, right? So, that is so unusual, and it just speaks to the kind of person that he is.
It totally does. And Janice, that is so fascinating you use that example, because literally just about 10 days ago, a young woman who is, I think her service is that she matches podcast guests with hosts.
Yes, yes.
That's what she does.
Yeah.
And she had gotten a note from her podcast host that she had been on. And she held it up, made a picture of it, and put it on LinkedIn. And somebody sent it to me because they knew I'd love it. And so then I could see who had written her the note. So I wrote both to her and to the guy whose podcast she had been on. And then he reached out to me. Now I'm going to be a guest on his podcast. My big point is, it's such a ripple effect.
And of course it is.
It just really, and so inspiring to hear. And it makes you want to do it too. So
well,
that's a wonderful story.
It aligns like-minded people, right? So much
Absolutely.
That it just makes you be around the right people.
Absolutely.
Right. So you know that I'm involved with a company called SendOutCards/Promptings. They changed their name when they finally were able to get the URL that they'd wanted to get years ago, but never could. So
what
now
was
it's
that again? What was the
Promptings. Promptings.com.
Oh, okay.
And it was always the mission of the company and to send out cards, to act on your promptings and send out cards in kindness, right? And send to give, not to get. And they never had that name before. So now the overall company is called Promptings, powered by Send Out Cards. And I know that you know that I'm I've been with that company, and my listeners know I am too. And I've been with the company 16, 17 years now, and it's gone through lots of changes, but the message is always the same for me. Who needs to hear from me today? Whose life can I, make better today? Whether it's the sort of customary life events or holidays or special events like birthdays and anniversaries, or whether it's just acting on a prompting, that person came to my mind. So what I want to talk to you about here is, I say that at Send Out Cards, we often talk about acting on inner promptings or nudges to reach out. So I've got two questions for you, but first of all, how does intuition play a role in your note writing philosophy?
Totally plays a role. And I call them nudges, or sometimes I call them God hugs. But I just think that is often a sign to me that if somebody comes to mind, I really try to capture it. If I don't write them right then, I put it down somewhere so I don't forget. So yeah, very, very important.
Well, and often when they receive that card, there are people who have, in my experience, sent me a note saying, thank you for the card. You have no idea how much that card meant to me coming today. I needed that. Right? Because you never know when it's going to get there.
You never know. Yeah. You never know. And that is so important. And I think that when we have, and we can talk about this because when you have a business, sometimes there might not be if there is a prompt, you darn well better listen to it. Right. But also I would recommend to people to have systems in place to give them a tickler system, as it were.
Yes, I love that term.
To follow up with people, because sometimes if you're very busy, which we hope we all are, then you do forget to do that. So anyway,
that's a good point. And that, though, does differentiate, because in Send Out Cards, we can send one-off cards as we get the prompting, or we can systemize them to go out for Christmas or special holidays that you want to send cards to your clients. Now, the big mistake these people make, though, is that they send Christmas cards and that's it for a year. And in so many industries, particularly the sales cycle people, like financial planners, like real estate agents, mortgage brokers, business owners, even. I mean, maybe not so much corporate, because maybe it just depends on the company. But it always helps, right? But when you systemize them and you just send once a year and think that's enough, it isn't.
It's not enough.
No, but you can systemize for four times a year. So you touch them each quarter. That way, that puts you way ahead of everybody else. And it also surprises them.
That is just what I was going to say. I think an unexpected note is far more powerful. Whether it's a personal note or a professional note, it's just far more powerful. And so if you want to do holiday, I recommend people thinking New Year's. For one thing, doesn't have the religious connotation.
Right.
And secondly, it's not as expected. And thirdly, your own schedule is not as crazy busy as it is at other times.
The other one I do.
Some people do the other, they go to Thanksgiving. Which works,
And
also
just for the record, for my American listeners, Thanksgiving in Canada is the second Monday in October. It is not the third Thursday in November. And I know them both. And I think you should too, if you deal with Canadians and Americans.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But because I often get Thanksgiving cards from Americans in November. And I love that they send them, but that's that one extra piece, right? But yes, New Year's is great. And the other one actually that I like to suggest is Valentine's Day, because you can say, I appreciate you being my client. Thank you. We love our clients on the front of the card, whatever it says. But that's because that holiday is not as prolific when it comes to card sending, other than personal, love matches. But that's a good one as well.
And so our financial advisor sends my husband and me each Mother's Day and Father's Day card.
There's that too. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Right. So those are a bit more difficult to pre-program, because you don't know if everybody's a parent or not. So there's that.
Absolutely.
So just while we're on the topic of the system way of doing it, and I do know that in your book you have amazing appendix at the back that talks about a lot of different tools. Wait, what was that word?
Appendices.
No, the word you taught me.
Epistolary.
Epistolary, right. So there's things about pens, there's things about writing paper, there's things, places you can, and types of things that you can get. And you also have some card companies. You don't have send out cards in there, but I know there's a reason, probably because
I'm
you're,
not sure. There was a
yeah.
reason that I
Well,
may
maybe
not have
in
been
your
as familiar.
next edition, we'll talk about that.
There you go.
Okay. But what I wanted to ask you is because recently, just a couple of months ago, 3 months ago, maybe, Send Out Cards has a new offering and it's called ACTS, Act on Your Promptings. And then ACT, and I can't remember the acronym name for it, Appreciate Prompt Something. Anyway, I should know, but I have to go look it up when I wrote it in my newsletter last week. Anyway, it's digital cards. And so digital cards versus printed cards. All right. So what happened was there's a story behind it, and I'm not quick to make changes. Okay. I don't like change. I like things to be the way they were. And so the young man who is the head of IT at this company, Send Out Cards Promptings, is also the son of the owner of the company. And for 4 years, he's been talking to his dad, and he's a, I think he's a millennial. And he's been saying, your mission, dad, has always been to act on your promptings. You didn't say how, whether it had to be, and this is a way that the young people might find more useful. So it's taken a long time for his dad to come around. So now what they've done is you now can send a digital card instantly via messaging, via messaging platforms like Facebook, WhatsApp, LinkedIn. You can put it as a link in one of those messages, and then the card opens up and it shows. And the card can be exactly what you would send in a printed card with a personalized image on it, picture, whatever you want it to be, but it gets there instantly. You can also, when you get that card, it says something at the bottom like try it yourself. And it also says, if you'd like a printed version, let me know. And then I can go in and just click a button and send it as a printed card, or I might do both. And the quote that goes along with this that I want to share with you is, digital acts get there faster, printed cards stay there longer, system cards expand your reach. So we've talked about all three now, and I wonder what your take might be on that. Do you think there's a place for it? Because I'm still struggling with it with some people.
I do think there's a place for it. I think my mantra that I have at the bottom of every newsletter is whether written or spoken, words from the heart will never fail you. And I'll give you an example. My brother is founder of a financial services company in Seattle, and he always, for years, has given his clients a book that he recommends for the holidays. And the year that my book came out, he gave 150 copies of my book to each of his clients. And one of the emails that he got back several months later was, Bruce, I know that, and he didn't say it was that I was his sister, but and the person didn't know that. He said, I love that book, and I have incorporated the principles into my email writing, and I just got a response from somebody that said that my email was the most wonderful email they had gotten in months. So I think the principles can be applied to all kinds of communication, and it's just a matter of sort of discerning the situation, the relationship, and whether you want it to be something that they are gonna or it's gonna hang around. And I would submit, I certainly love handwritten notes, but I would submit that even a typed note put in the mail is more impactful
I
than
agree.
a digital message. But on the other hand, sometimes timeliness is critical.
Yes, exactly. So thank
And
you
then
for
there's
that.
nothing to
And
say you can't do both, too.
no, that's true. And I do. And I do discern, like I tested it yesterday actually with a young friend of mine who has been a client, and I was doing a catch-up call with him. I hadn't talked to him for a long time, and I didn't know if he was aware of the digital version. And he's in his 30s, and I kind of thought he would be. But no, he likes the idea of sending the real card in the mail because he could add a gift to it if he wanted to with his corporate clients. And but I sent him one just so he could experience it and see what he thought. And he agreed to that just because you don't know unless you get it. But you can't
Sure.
savor it. Whereas, I talked to somebody who I had a catch-up call with, and she said she pulled my card off her desk and said, "This has been here for 5 years because it has her picture on it, right?" And because people don't send cards as readily. So there you go. Okay. We've got to start to wrap up because I get carried away and go longer, which is fantastic. But okay. What do you hope the legacy of the hashtag HeartSpoken movement will be, and how can your listeners be part of it? And I think that you've spoken to that actually, I think through the Substack piece. Is that the spoken movement?
Heartspoken Note is the name of the Substack newsletter.
But so you just use the hashtag, which by the way, on LinkedIn, they don't do anything with anymore. So you know that,
Heartspoken
right?
Movement, and that came from Larry Levine with Selling from the Heart.
Yeah,
Um,
I
he,
know, Larry.
he's the one that told me a year and a half ago I needed to use it. No, I think that we have talked about it, Janice, and I think the legacy is simply for people to for note writing to come to mind when they are thinking about ways to nurture and build relationships. And certainly I hope that it will never be relegated to some sort of old-fashioned label that
Right.
or irrelevant label. And I think that it's not. I think that there is a resurgence of interest, and I think that there are people in their 30s, 20s, 30s, and 40s that are embracing it, and whether it's enough, I don't know. I despair for future historians who have to write biographies without letters.
Good point. Very good point. And it's true. Those of us in our generation ha who were taught to write personal notes, there was no other way at that time, correct? But it was also teaching our children manners and the right thing to do. Now I've got my granddaughter I'm looking at, even though it's not her world, she's got to learn to do that, I believe. So I start them young, whether it takes them half an hour to write their name or not. At this point, she's getting better. But anyway,
And writing to them is one of the best ways to do that.
exactly. So I just want to ask one more note about the ref to re and this came from, I think you have book clubs that talk about your book, which I think is fantastic. How can the practice of writing heart-spoken notes contribute to personal growth and well-being? I know it does.
Well, it certainly does. And there's actually fascinating research on neuroscience about the brain, parts of the brain that are stimulated when you write and read notes, as opposed to scrolling social media feeds. I mean, that it's totally documented. But I think that the very act of slowing down enough to put pen to paper and having to think before you write is therapeutic. It's a form of mindfulness, and it is also a form of self-knowledge because you have to think about how you feel before you can write it down on paper. So I think that we're only just beginning to realize, the benefits of it, and it's radical in a way if you think about it. In today's world, it's radical to do something that is as inefficient as writing a note. There's nothing efficient about it,
That's
but
right. That's right.
it is still a value proposition that I think can't be ignored.
Okay, this is a stupid question. I know there's no stupid questions. What color ink do you use?
Oh, great question. That's not a stupid question at all. Actually, I have a bunch of ink bottles on my desk, and I have a pen. I usually keep the same ink and the same pen, so I'll remember.
Yes.
But mostly green, mostly blue and black. But
Yeah.
I have a favorite green that I use, and then I have a red one that I use if it goes with the stationery or the occasion.
I
It's
love
called
it.
Red Dragon.
I love it. I even found now that you can get like a six, seven, $8 pen, fountain pen, a throwaway fountain pen that you can get in Staples that I sometimes buy a pink or a purple one just to do notes with or something that are
I'm not
different.
surprised.
Because I
And
love.
up one piece a while back on erasable pens. It's a remarkable
I saw that.
In those in recent years. And for those who are insecure about their writing and think they've got a correct mistake, it's really a wonderful, it's not something you want to use to write checks. It's not
right.
fun.
Oh, this has been delightful. And if you could get, oh, wait, I have to ask you one more question. What book are you reading right now?
Now, what did I do with it?
Yeah.
Thank you. So I am reading The Light We Give.
Ah.
And it is subtitled How Sikh, S-I-K-H, Wisdom Can Transform Your Life.
Oh.
And it's in all of this Middle East issue, I would just want, I had heard that the Sikh philosophy.
I call it Sikh, the Sikh.
Sikh is it Sikh?
I think so. I'm not sure though. You could be right. Yeah.
You're probably right.
The Sikh philosophy.
And
yes.
It's written by Simranjeet Singh, S-I-N-G-H, who is a professor and a very much of an advocate for what they teach, which is it's themes that translate through all religious traditions of love and forgiveness and recognizing the divine spark in each person. And I haven't gotten but about halfway through it, but I wanted to hear another perspective on dealing with the all of the anger and the fear that seems to be prevalent in our.
Oh, your country's going through. We won't even talk about that.
The big conversations. It's very discouraging, and I'm not a person to get discouraged. So I'm looking for tools to help me stay
fantastic.
On, stay, rise above the fray, as it were.
Exactly, rise above the fray. Last piece of advice regarding heart spoken.
Just
your work.
The only advice I have is just. Well, there's just a wonderful little, it came from Sanskrit writings. It's just a wonderful little piece, and it's called Yesterday is But a Dream, Tomorrow is Only a Vision. But today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look well, therefore, to this day. And that is just to seize the day, make it matter, and make it about caring about somebody else.
I love it. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you so much. Now, how can people find you? I'm going to say, is the best place on
heartspoken.com.
Oh, okay. Heartspoken.com. And here's her book again, which I do encourage you to go out and get. Amazon, heartspoken.com. It's really, really useful. I enjoyed the read really quickly, understood it, spoke to my heart, but it's also a book I will pick up again because it has so many practical uses for what will I say to this person about that? And it'll give me some ideas, business and personal. So
absolutely.
I do encourage people to.
Thank you. And it's not something that's going to put you on a guilt trip. It's not meant for that.
No.
To inspire.
To inspire. Exactly. And I'll put the information in the show notes where to find you. And also on LinkedIn, I encourage people to check Elizabeth out there. She writes some good stuff and on Substack, which I'm going to go check out again now.
Thank you, Janice. What an honor this has been.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. I consider it an honor, actually, and so glad that we met. And I hope to think that we will stay connected. And
absolutely.
All right. As I tell my audience every week, please remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.